live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Thursday to you all. It is October 25th, 2018, and much love to those who are tuned into WKAR's current sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. You may be watching our live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, or you may be listening to the podcast version of the show, courtesy of WKAR.org. However you're tuned in, thank you so much for allowing current sports to be a part of your day. All right, hard to believe it's already on the back end of the week. It is Thursday, and a few things I want to talk about on today's show, because, and this is why I've always, you know, vied for, Mark D'Antonio's press conferences to happen later on in the week, because when he holds these pressers on Tuesday, you know, usually that Monday they have off, or they practice, that's like the first practice of the week, and, you know, with it happening at 11:30 a.m., you don't get really any reaction from Coach D because they practice in the afternoon. So the post, well, that press conference, that weekly press conference, happens before the first practice of the week. You know, if you push it to later on in the week, the team has had a few practices under its belt, and you can really pick Mark D'Antonio's brain as to what he's seen in practice from his players. So Tuesday morning, you're not really getting much other than a rehash of what happened that past Saturday in that said game, and you're getting a preview of that week's matchup, all right? But, you know, Thursday, that would be an ideal time to hold that press conference, because you also may have some news break, much like what happened today. Yeah, Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State, has been fined $10,000. Interesting, right? Everything that went down pregame between Michigan and Michigan State. Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, he issued a statement and backed up why he has decided to fine Michigan State. All right. And also, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan football program, they have been reprimanded. Mark D'Antonio reprimanded the program of Michigan State, reprimanded. So we'll dive into all of that. All right, I got some strong thoughts on that. Also, we've got a really cool feature interview that I conducted with Komarji Harris, who is the founder of the Spartan Youth Organization, the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization that he has put together that is doing some great things, impacting the lives of many young men and women here in this area. He has such an inspirational story. Komarji was an amateur boxer turned professional. And this dude, I kid you not, has over 200 fights under his belt. Quite amazing, folks. So you don't want to miss that chat. We also will be rolling in an interview with Dr. Ryan Waltmore of More Life Health and Healing. He came in with Komarji, and he's going to dive into just how safe the sport of youth boxing is and what parents should know if they plan on enrolling their son or daughter into the sport of youth boxing. And it's Thursday. We'll hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history with Throwback Thursday. Also want to note that Coach Tom Izzo will be speaking around 1:45 p.m. at the Breslin Center, previewing the 2018-19 year for his Michigan State men's basketball team. Media Day at the Breslin Center. I'll be booking it right after I bid you all adieu at 2 p.m. and heading down to the Breslin. We'll have some interviews for you with the players. Some, I should say, not just some, a lot of new faces for the green and white this year. And you'll get a chance to hear what Coach Izzo had to say at the Breslin Center. We'll have a 2-minute drill that will be available later on this evening at facebook.com/WKAR News. But hey, you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with this fine from the Big Ten Conference. Michigan and Michigan State have been publicly reprimanded by the Big Ten for violations of the league's sportsmanship policy. Additionally, Michigan State has been fined $10,000. The reprimands result from the pregame incident between players from both teams prior to last weekend's Wolverines and Spartans matchup before the in-state rivalry showdown at Spartan Stadium. We all saw this on camera, right? Michigan players were already on the field, having been told it was clear for warm-ups when the Spartans began their regular pregame walk down the length of the field. Now, it is something the team has done at all home games since Mark D'Antonio has been coach. Several Michigan players were at midfield when there was a dust-up with the Spartans. The Wolverines said they were never asked to move. Michigan linebacker Devin Bush then had a temper tantrum and then kicked his cleats in the Spartan logo at midfield, tore up portions of the field. Your thoughts? Do you agree with this fine of $10K for Michigan State? Do you agree with the reprimand that has been handed down by Jim Delaney and the Big Ten? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Curious to get your thoughts on that. Michigan State safety, Kari Willis, was named one of 10 finalists for the Senior Class Award, as announced yesterday. To be eligible for that award, student-athletes must be a senior at an FBS program and have, quote, notable achievements in four areas of excellence. Those areas are community, classroom, character, and competition. The award is an acronym for celebrating loyalty and achievement for staying in school, class, and encourages athletes to make a positive impact in their communities. Now, one of three team captains this year, Willis is a two-time academic All-Big Ten selection who has a 3.24 GPA while majoring in interdisciplinary studies in social science, ISS, with an emphasis on community governance and advocacy. He delivered a speech, a riveting speech, right, on behalf of all the players at the Big Ten Media Days luncheon back in July, focusing on student-athletes giving back to their communities. So congratulations to Kari Willis there. The Michigan State women's soccer team fell 2-0 to Nebraska yesterday afternoon at Hibner Stadium, bringing the Spartan season to an unfortunate close. MSU finishing the year 5-10-3, 0-9-2 in the Big Ten Conference. Michigan State fell behind early and couldn't recover as the Nebraska Cornhuskers scored 2 goals in the first 12 minutes. Yesterday's game was the makeup date from the originally scheduled game on October 14th that was postponed due to that pesky snow. All right, Michigan gymnastics. Scott Viteri, a former standout male gymnast, for the University of Michigan Wolverines and former U.S. national team member. He was arrested on October 8th for engaging in an obscene act in public. According to the Detroit Free Press, Vatiri, 39 years old, an assistant coach with the Michigan women's gymnastics team, and an 18-year-old female gymnast on the team were caught by police engaging in a sex act in a car in the parking lot of an Ann Arbor apartment complex. Both were arrested. Aside from the criminal implications for both, indecent public exposure carries a maximum of 90 days in jail and a $500 fine. The University of Michigan Athletic Department expressly forbids romantic or sexual relationships between athletes and coaches. So there you have that. More drama. Three men were found guilty yesterday of corrupting college basketball by paying young athletes to attend schools sponsored by sportswear giant Adidas in violation of rules against enriching NCAA players. A Manhattan federal jury delivered guilty verdicts against ex-Adidas exec James Gatto, ex-Adidas consultant Merrill Code, and sports business agent Christian Dawkins following 3 days of deliberation. Family members cried as the verdict was read in the packed courtroom. Their lawyers denied that the men paid players to attend certain schools, but argued that it wasn't a crime because they were helping, not hurting, the schools they were accused of defrauding, including the University of Louisville, an Adidas-sponsored school. The men face decades in prison when they are sentenced on March 5th, although they are expected to get much less. So we'll see how that pans out when that sentencing is handed down in early March. The Illich organization may dip its toe into a regional sports network for Detroit teams and sports entertainment. The conglomerate, which owns the Detroit Tigers and the Detroit Red Wings, said on Tuesday that it has entered, quote, an extensive exploratory process. This is coming from Chris Granger, a group president of sports and entertainment for the Illich Holdings Incorporation. Quote, Fox Sports Detroit is a great partner, and we look forward to discussing renewal and extension possibilities. Now, no deadline has been set to complete the process. So with that statement coming from Chris Granger, it looks as though there's going to be maybe a collaboration here if the Illich family is considering a new network. And you have that statement coming from Chris Granger of this, you know, extension possibility for both the Wings and the Tigers. We'll see how that whole thing shakes out. But again, the Illich organization may be considering a new network for both the Red Wings and the Tigers. And speaking of Tigers and baseball, the Tigers aren't in the World Series, of course, but the World Series never fails to keep the intensity, doesn't it? This series between the LA Dodgers and the Boston Red Sox is no different. The World Series is historical in an odd way. This is the first World Series in which both starters on both teams in the first two games are left-handed. The World Series started at historical Fenway Park, who had been hosting the big show. And many times in the past, Game 1, on paper, it seemed like it would be a pitcher showdown. Boston's Chris Sale and LA's Clayton Kershaw got the nod in Game 1. The offensive powerhouse known as the Boston Red Sox did not shy away from teeing off on Kershaw, scoring 5 runs in 4 innings on the star pitcher. The final score, 8-4. Game 2, yesterday, the Red Sox left-hander and former Detroit Tiger David Price, he pitched 6 innings of 3-hit ball, and Major League RBI leader J.D. Martinez, also formerly of the Detroit Tigers, broke a 5th-inning tie with a 2-run single during another 2-out rally to lead Boston to a 4-2 dub over the Dodgers and a 2-0 lead now in the Fall Classic. Game 3, Friday. In L.A., the Dodgers need to win, of course, to avoid an 0-3 hole that no World Series team has ever recovered from. And last but not least, my undefeated Pistons will be in action tonight. The Pistons' formula for success in the early going has been simple. Put the ball in Blake Griffin's hands as often as possible. Griffin is off to just an incredible start, which is why the Pistons head into this home game against Cleveland tonight with a 3-0 record. Griffin poured in a career-high 50 points in a 133-132 OT triumph over the Philadelphia 76ers on Tuesday. He made the game-winning three-point play, driving to the lane for a layup while getting fouled and then draining the free throw with just 1.8 seconds left. Griffin is also averaging a decent 36.3 points per game. Quite remarkable. The Cavs, 0-4, remaining winless after getting blown out at home by the, this is embarrassing, right? The Brooklyn Nets of all teams, 102-86, the final of that one last night. The Nets took control by outscoring them 38-17 in the third stanza. Tip off for tonight, 7 p.m. from Little Caesars Arena. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, we are taking your calls and reading your comments centered on this whole Big Ten drama. Michigan State getting fined $10,000 for what happened pregame between Michigan and Michigan State. You know, the Big Ten reprimanding Mark D'Antonio and Jim Harbaugh. What are your thoughts? Again, 517-355-WKAR. Here we go. Welcome to the jungle. This is WKAR's current sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Let's just dive right into this because, again, we have a back-to-back feature slate of interviews that we'll be playing around 1:30. So in a little over 10 minutes with Komarji Harris, former professional boxer here locally in Lansing, Michigan, and now the founder of the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization. He has quite the story and an undeniable passion for helping the youth. Pretty admirable, without a doubt. And after you hear from Komarji, you hear from Dr. Ryan Waltmore, who talks about the health of youth sports, particularly when it concerns football and youth boxing. So you don't want to miss that.
Ryan Gronkowski.
And there's Jack messing with me today. Look at that. Play it one more time, Jack.
Ryan Gronkowski.
Yeah, you see, when I get caught up, you know, with, you know, when you're the host of a radio show, mistakes happen. And I called Rob Gronkowski, Ryan Gronkowski. Ryan Tannehill was on my mind because we were discussing the Detroit Lions win over the Miami Dolphins. Thank you, Jack.
You know what? I was a second late on that one because you said the name Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I literally, while you were doing that, I was just loading that bite into Zeta. And I was just half second late. Otherwise, it could have been perfect.
It could have been perfect. Yeah, you messed up that. But thank you. I own my mistakes, man. We're all human. And I called Rob Gronkowski Ryan Gronkowski. There we go. You live and you learn, right? All right. You done? You got any more, Jack? Got any more ammo back there? You
want Ryan play? Gronkowski.
It's kind of funny. That is pretty funny. All right. Let's get to this mistake. All right, because I think this is a huge mistake from the Big Ten. Fining Michigan State $10,000. Now, again, that's a drop in the bucket for a Big Ten university that accrue so much on an annual basis. It isn't a good look from an optic standpoint because we all know what happened here at Michigan State when it comes to the whole Larry Nassar scandal, right? And all the fines that this university is trying to figure out how to pay. Michigan State needs no more fines, all right? But before I because I tell you, technology sometimes. My live stream with this old iPhone 6 has just gone down. So while I'm putting the live stream back up, I want to get the thoughts of the two fantastic engineers and PAs of this show behind the glass, Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio. Your thoughts on the Big Ten Conference and Jim Delaney deciding to look at everything that took place prior to kickoff on Saturday and decide to say, all right, well, we need to do something about this. Let's fine Michigan State $10K and let's reprimand Jim Harbaugh and Mark D'Antonio for what they had to say after the game. Thoughts, Jack?
You know what? I guess when I saw this break this morning, I was a little confused as to why sanctions were only brought up against Michigan State University. From a financial perspective, I didn't really understand why MSU was fined $10,000, but Michigan was not. But with that being said, I mean, as it pertains to everything that took place before the game, I'm just kind of done with it, to be honest with you, Al. I mean, it's Thursday at this point. It's been 5 days. I'd like to put this whole thing behind, but I'd like this to be put behind us at this point. You know what I mean? Yeah, Devin Bush tore up the field. Yeah, you know, guys didn't really get out of their way during the team walk. You know, Jim Harbaugh alleges that Michigan players clotheslined Michigan State players and LaVert Hill's headphones were ripped off. I'd like to move past all of this, to be honest with you. When I looked at, you know, the sanctions that were levied this morning, again, it didn't make sense to me that MSU was fined, but Michigan wasn't fined. But I just want to be done with this at this point.
Totally hear you. You know, I thought we were done with it yesterday. And for me, this is Jim Delaney flexing muscle, which you don't need to do here. You know, I think, you know, Jim Delaney, who you normally don't hear from during the Big Ten football year, you don't hear. I mean, you see Jim Delaney hold that very vanilla press conference at the very beginning of the year before the season kicks off out in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days. And you hear Jim talk about the conference and he goes through the teams and, you know, he talks about how great the Big Ten is and how we're going to at least have, you know, 3 to 4 maybe even contenders of the college football playoff. And he'll give you a ratings rundown of how the conference did when it comes to viewers on the Big Ten Network and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Right. This is a situation where Jim didn't need to say anything. If anything, if I'm Jim Delaney, I'm looking at this and saying, this is fantastic. People are talking about this rivalry. This adds more attention to this matchup come next year. I mean, when we're talking about, and this is, I also had to look at it from this standpoint as well. Sure, Devin Bush, totally disrespectful. I totally did not agree with what he did prior to the game. You know, you could have easily just stepped to the side and say, all right, go ahead. You know, this is what you guys do. And again, this whole back and forth, I've been talking with people saying, Al, they were late for this pregame ceremony. The field was Michigan's. Look, they've been doing this throughout Mark D'Antonio's entire tenure. I'm sure there was a time or two when there were some players warming up when Mark D'Antonio's team decided to do this pregame ritual, which has been done before every home game throughout Coach D's tenure. And you know what those players did? They said, okay, I'm going to respect what you do and step to the side. All right, so this whole, you know, dialogue, Al, they were late. The field was Michigan's. Who I've debated this with only Michigan fans, of course. They were late, Al. The field was Michigan's. I'm glad Devin Bush burrowed through them. It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. Come on now. But you're dealing with, I mean, a rivalry like this that's so nasty. You know, what do you expect, right? What Devin Bush did doesn't surprise me. But you, why look at this as Jim Delaney and say, oh, I got to do something about this? You know, why do you feel pressured that you have to do something about this? Fining Michigan State, again, $10,000 is a drop in the bucket. You know, if anything, if any punishment that should be handed down here, it should be Devin Bush. He destroyed property. You know, he went to the logo and decided to kick up dirt. If you are going to go there, if you as Jim Delaney are going to go that route, you know, sit Devin Bush a half or a quarter. That's what should have happened. Because he escalated it. You know, not only did he just burrow through the line, but he decided to talk some more trash and then have a tantrum and take his cleats and just dig into the field. I mean, come on. Coach D saying that Jim Harbaugh's comments of Bush League being BS, that does not warrant a fine or a reprimand, period. Because I guess Jim Delaney and the Big Ten, they are fining Michigan State for the ceremony, period. I don't know. This is just Jim Delaney being petty. This is the Big Ten Conference being petty and totally missing the essence of this rivalry. You didn't need to go there with this. Alec?
So, do you remember in the WWE, like, in between, like, the matches and stuff, you'd see, like, two wrestlers, like, talking smack to each other or something like that, you know, like, the drama stuff? That's what this reminds me of after the game. Like, it's Thursday now, and, like, they're finally handing out all of the fines and all of the reprimands and stuff. It's just way acted on way too late, and it just doesn't make sense to only penalize one team of fining. It just, this whole thing was just completely mishandled, in my opinion.
It's so petty. And I will say this, too. I mean, with everything that's going down here at Michigan State and the fines that this university is still paying and will be paying for a long time, to have this happen, it just isn't a good look. And I bet you, I'm just, if I'm speculating here. It's Sports Talk Radio. That's what we do. But if Mark D'Antonio had his weekly press conference today after this news broke, just imagine him at 11:30 a.m. after he found out that he was, and his program, Michigan State, was getting fined $10,000 for this. I don't think we would have Coach D, as he said on Tuesday morning, saying, I'm not talking about this. You know, let's move on. I'm sure D'Antonio would have some thoughts on this. And again, like you said, Alec, this is a rivalry. Okay? Talking trash is a part of it. Heated moments happen. You know, we remember the state game, right? Going back to the state game, why didn't anything happen then? You know, in essence, it's pregame drama, right? Pregame drama. Something happened to the field here. D'Antonio with the comment of, you know, I felt like we needed to drive a stake through him. You know, all of that stuff. In essence, it's the same conversation. Why did you feel the need to go to this length of fining Michigan State and reprimanding both programs, both coaches? I don't get it. I don't get it.
Okay, I feel like to match the pettiness, I feel like Michigan State should pay this $10,000 fine just in pennies.
Yeah, well, that's what Rico Beard said. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't know. I did not. But
Rico Beard
said,
my frat brother Rico and local media member Rico said, look, you know, Michigan State should just go petty times 1,000 and just put a bunch of pennies of $10,000 to add up to $10,000 in the bag. And well, multiple bags, and just throw it on the desk of Jim Delaney. Yeah, that would be the ultimate, you know, take your money
payback
moment,
yeah.
Right? So yeah, but like you, Jack, I'm ready to move on, man. You know, this is in the past now. Michigan State lost. They now move on to play Purdue again. That will be a noon kickoff at Spartan Stadium. How Michigan State is favored, I have no idea. I was having this debate before the show with Brad Walker. Brad believes. Brad believes that Michigan State is going to win this. Again, he's speaking on pure emotion here. He's going with his heart, not his head. I get it. You know, that would be something if Michigan State did pull off that kind of an upset. But they've already had their upset moment of the season, and that was what happened in Happy Valley against Penn State. I don't think that Michigan State has any shot against Purdue on Saturday. Heck, we don't even know who's going to be the quarterback come Saturday. Rocky Lombardi said that, hey, I'm ready. They need me. I am ready. Well, who knows what could happen? Again, we're sitting here on Thursday talking about this. And who knows if Brian Lewerke, if that right shoulder is feeling better, they may give him a go. But again, if Brian Lewerke plays against Purdue and he starts off poorly, I don't know how in the heck you don't make a change. I know a lot of folks out there, and I've heard this as well. Some of you guys have popped in my DMs and said, Al, I want to see Theo Day. Rocky Lombardi, who? Throw in Theo Day. You know, and again, we don't have a big sample size of Rocky Lombardi. Rocky, well, we saw him like on one drive in garbage time against CMU.
Yeah, and then the end of the Michigan game.
And the end of the Michigan game, you know, and he moved the offense down the field in that game, but mostly because of penalties. There were like four flags, like four straight flags during that drive that led to Michigan State getting somewhat close to the red zone. We don't have a big sample size when it comes to Rocky Lombardi. So before we go to Theo Day, folks, let's just see what Rocky can do. Time will tell, right? Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have that feature interview with Komarji Harris, former professional boxer and now founder of the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization. Komarji, along with Dr. Ryan Waltmore, will be joining us here on Current Sports. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Arby's is lowering its standards for the Detroit Red Wings. Have you guys seen this story? It just flashed up on my laptop here, Jack. The Detroit Red Wings, again, the worst record in the NHL.
Oh, 162
after 9 games. And Arby's has had this really popular promotion that, you know, fans receive free curly fries if a Red Wings player scored a hat trick. Well, that ain't happening. I mean, the Wings, again, 1-6-2, worst record in the NHL. Arby's has decided to change up things because they are, you know, the realization is hitting them that it's not going to be, you know, very likely that a Detroit Red Wings player is going to score 3 goals in a game. No Detroit Red Wings player has scored 3 goals in a game this season, or last season, for that matter, when they finished 27th in the NHL with a 30-39-13 record, ranked 28th in goals scored with 217. So Arby's has made a change, and they are now giving away free curly fries for any game in which the Red Wings overall as a team, overall, rather than an individual player, score 3 goals or more. You like that, Jack? Lowering the bar, Arby's is. What do you think of that?
There's probably no greater indicator of just how bad this Detroit Red Wings team is. I mean, this promotion's existed for several years, as long as I can remember. And,
yeah,
you know, a couple times a year, it was always awesome. I even went to Arby's and got free curly fries a couple times following hat tricks. But, I mean, this is wild that they changed. I mean, 3 goals is such a low bar in general to be doing a giveaway.
It is.
It's just crazy how bad this Red Wings team is.
Maybe they have like a fry overload that they're like, all right, we got to get rid of these fries.
Yeah,
the Wings aren't helping us here. So, if you just score 3 goals or more, Wings, overall, we're going to give those babies away. So, there you have that.
First overall pick.
What's that?
First overall pick.
Oh, definitely.
That's what they need.
If they keep trending like this, they will have no problem in getting that pick. All right. I want to throw to 2 feature interviews that we have for you guys. Komarji Harris has been a boxing trainer now for a little over 3 years. He is a former amateur boxer who went on to also have a professional career. And, you know, he has such an interesting story because he's not originally from the area. And, you know, now he is also the founder of the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization, which is continuing to grow and grow over the years. You know, and it's not just about boxing, all right? The youth who are involved in this organization, I mean, Komarji teaches these young ones about life as well. And he puts an emphasis on, you know, teaching kids who have been bullied or are currently being bullied how to deal with those situations. I want to roll in a chat that I had with Komarji not too long ago. And we first began this chat by discussing how he ended up in the Lansing area.
My father got a job at GM. He worked at Brock's Candy Company in Chicago. That make all the butterscotch, all the hard candy. So he came up here in 1978 and started working at Plant One. And he brought his family up here. Then I came up here. I went to the Boys and Girls Club on the south side of Lansing. Then I met up with, then went into the amateur boxing with Bob Avery, who run Crown Boxing Club. But back then it was Caravan Youth Center Boxing, LLC. Then I kept on fighting. Then I fought at the Civic Center, won state championship. At the states, went off to the Nationals. Took fifth in the Nationals. Then went off to the Olympic tryouts in 1993. Then I started my organization, the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization. And how I started that, because I got picked on. I got bullied. I was a fat kid. So that's why my father really got me into boxing, and it helped build my confidence and my self-esteem so I can get back to the community.
Love that. That's awesome, Kamarji. So real quick, I want to go back to, you know, you as a professional boxer. I mean, you mentioned how you went to the Olympic trials, right? Yeah. And you were a professional boxer. Can you give me your record during that time?
As an amateur fighter, my record was 185-5. They turned me open at 15 years old, and that's in the caliber with Greg Lizzy, the Stevensons, Iman Green, Willie Stewart, Tommy Hearns' son. That's when they turned me open. Then my professional record, I went pro. My professional record was 5-15. Why it's so bad? Because the money I got a hold to the money, and they listened to the politics and people who could have helped me. I would just didn't need them, because I thought I was better than them because I was fighting pro. I travel. I met a lot of boxers in the world. I met the WBO, the WBC presidents that helped sponsor my organization right now.
Can you tell me who are some of the biggest names that you fought, Kamarji?
Troy Rowland, he's out of Grand Rapids. I fought Tommy Hearns' son, Junior Hearns.
Was he as good as his dad? No?
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. I fought Reuben Williams. I fought Chris Graves. And I fought another guy out of Colorado. He's the world champion. I can't remember his name right now.
And you said your record in amateur boxing, 185-5? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking almost 200 fights, over 200 fights, yeah. When you count your professional career, Kamarji. I mean, that's a lot of wear and tear. That's a lot of boxing, Kamarji. What kept you coming back and in the sport as a fighter?
Conditioning, the more of it. It kept me going because my condition, I loved it, and I didn't really get hurt. I was smart, but I was hard-headed, too. So when I took that last fight against for a title against Curtis Hill Jr. out of Indianapolis for the title, he beat me pretty bad. And after that, I gave it up. Mm-hmm. I said no more. It was like 2 years ago.
Why was that the moment? Why was that the fight that you said, okay, it's time to do something else?
Because them young boys, I trained hard. I dropped over 60 pounds in like 9 weeks. And it just wasn't good on my body. So it was a good fight, but I was done with it because I didn't want to take no more hits. So I hate getting hit.
Don't we all, right? Well, Floyd Mayweather says, you know, the, when it comes to longevity in boxing, the key is to hit and not get hit, right? And now, I have to ask this, Kamarji, because that record, when you stated that record, 185-5, and then you throw on your professional record on top of that, do you look back at that many fights and that many hits and are you concerned at all about what all of those fights have collectively done or possibly did to your health?
Yes. So people like, you still here? I'm like, well, I got out of it for reasons. So I was smart. you know, I got out of it because I couldn't take the hits no more. You know, it didn't really mess me up, but I just was done with it.
Gotcha. Do you still feel pain from those fights?
No. No, I don't feel pain. When I work with the kids or people, I want to get back in it.
So you still got that bug then?
I got the bug. And people call me every day to fight. I give calls for fights, like, around the country. If I had my passport updated, they asked me to fight over in London. Like, last month, they called me a woman fighting Tokyo. I was just like, don't want to deal with it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now that you're not fighting anymore, you have been a trainer the last 3 years. Why did you decide to get into boxing training?
Because I can, the difference of me, the way I was trained when I was young, I can help a lot of people, a lot of kids. That's why I work a lot with kids, because I can show them the right way. Instead of trying to show them the wrong way, like the other trainers do in this town.
Was there a moment where you said, okay, I want to try training kids? When was that moment? Why? Why do it?
That moment came when I was at, well, I was in Big Bear, and I was at the Sugar Shane Mosley camp. And I was watching the trainers, and they was working with young kids. I was like, wow, I want to do this. So after my fight, I talked to some people in Las Vegas. And so Vanderlei Silva and them helped me out, and they tried me out in the gym in Las Vegas to do some training. And I did pretty good at it, and they wanted me to move there and train at the gym in Las Vegas.
Gotcha. So now you're on the other side now, boxer, now trainer. So you get to see the game, the sport, from the training side of things. I have to ask, what's that like for you now? You know, it's not like you can jump in the ring and box and show this fighter what to do. What's the toughest part of being a trainer and trying to guide a fighter?
People don't like to listen. And I want to get in there and do it, so I do get in the ring and work with them. I spar with them because I know a lot about the game. So I can help a lot of people, but it's hard. People are hard-headed.
We as human beings are just naturally hard-headed, right? And fighters especially are just naturally hard-headed, Komarji. I was a huge fan of the sport when I was growing up and watching Friday night fights on Showtime with my grandfather, watching the big fights like Tyson in the 90s, right? Lennox Lewis, those guys. But, you know, you mentioned the politics. And, you know, many times when watching professional boxing and a fighter that clearly wins is just muffed on the scorecard. You know, I bring up the Timothy Bradley and Manny Pacquiao situation, right? That's what really turned me off when I saw the outcome of that first fight. What is it going to take for boxing to get back to the relevance that it had back in the days of Ali and Frazier, when it was on regular television, when it was on the forefront of people's minds, when it was a staple sport here in America? It's not that way anymore. What is it going to take for boxing to become popular again?
Drop all the sanctioned bodies.
What do you mean by that?
The WBA, the WBO, the WBC, the IBL, the WBA Junior. Drop that and just make everything one belt. Mm-hmm. And I think boxing will be better and do it on TV and don't be scared to fight each other. But the main thing over there is now is too many belts in the boxing game, so you don't know who is the best fighter. You know, you got the WBC come in with the diamond belt, okay. A diamond belt. Floyd had all the belts and retired with them. So how you gonna come up with a diamond belt and give it to a fighter that got two laws and just get him a belt, a diamond belt? I don't. It's just, it's crazy.
I want you to pub now an event that will be taking place later on this month at the Crafted Bean. What is that all about?
Well, the Crafted Bean, what they're gonna be, it's at a coffee shop, brand new coffee shop in town. We're doing it. They hosting an event for me to equipment a building for my basketball team, my boxing team, to raise money and keep the awareness going in the community and to keep the program going for next year.
So, and this is raising funds for the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization, the LSYO, right?
Yes. Yes.
So again, the Crafted Bean, what day and what time is that, Komarji?
It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning on the 27th, and it goes on to 10 o'clock at night.
Awesome event there. And you know, alongside Komarji during this interview, Ryan Waltmore also joins us. Ryan is with More Life Health and Healing. And Ryan expounded upon health in youth sports, particularly, you know, when it comes to what we're knowing more and more about concussions. You know, he expounded upon whether or not, you know, a sport, a contact sport, intense contact sport like youth boxing, as well as, you know, sports like football, you know, how safe they truly are. So here's also a chat with Ryan, and also discussing his journey on how he ended up here in Lansing.
I'm born and raised in Keene, New Hampshire, about 2 hours from Boston on the East Coast there. Recently, I moved here to Lansing from Oakland, California. Really cool, progressive area out there in Northern California.
You moved from that weather to this?
I know, man. I never said I was sane. Yeah. Love will do that to you for sure. I met my future wife. We'll be getting married in January. But she's born and raised in the greater Lansing area. And so we were out in California for about 5 years. It was great, but neither of us really had family out there. And so, you know, just as we're, you know, family starting to, you know, creep in the mix a little bit more. So starting to think about a family of our own at some point, not today, not today.
Not right now, right? Yeah, yeah.
I'm not ready now. But but yeah. So just Allison having all her family in the Lansing area, basically brought us back here, and we've been here going on 1 year this month, actually.
That's awesome stuff, Doc. All right, again, you're with, More Life, Health, and Healing. How did you link up with Komarji?
Yeah. So actually, Komarji and I met at the networking event, if you know, at the Lansing Brewing Company, the drinking lunch. It's on Thursdays. I think it's, you know, once a month. But yeah, we met there. Komarji just won me over, just how selfless of a individual he is, and just, you know, like you heard here, his passion to just share his story, you know, to inspire the Lansing youth. I was just interested in his mission. And Allison and I have started a nonprofit as well for similar reasons, not for the boxing in particular, but just to keep the youth healthy and, you know, give all the Lansing families affordable healthcare access. And we've just been going to events ever since then. He's basically been like my local tour guide, just finding all the outreach events, just so we can each just basically team up and just spread our message.
And can you expound upon that nonprofit that you and your future wife, your fiance, have founded, and why that subject of affordable healthcare is so personal and dear to you guys?
For us, you know, what we've seen with, you know, Big Pharma, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is a multi-trillion dollar juggernaut. You know, they're the lobbyists that unfortunately have a lot of power in elections and different politics and whatnot. And, you know, it's a successful business model, don't get me wrong, but just that whole insurance profit-driven game really dictates care for a lot of individuals. And so for us, we just created this nonprofit for those people that we really resonated with, that maybe they don't have proper health insurance or don't have the financial means. Basically, we just created a membership program that really gives equal, affordable access to a lot of families that didn't think our type of care was possible for them.
All right, Doc, I want to real briefly here tackle the health of youth sports, because you heard Komarji talk about, you know, his professional background as an amateur fighter and then becoming a professional fighter. I mean, over 200 fights, really. When you talk about the sport of boxing, and for any of our listeners out there who are parents and are thinking about maybe getting their little one involved in the sport, what should they know? And how safe is the sport of youth boxing?
Really, to me, the answer, it's a complicated question, you know, because of how intensely, you know, at what level, how many hits to the head, you know, is the biggest one that's a red flag to me. Are they taking those headshots? But to me, is it safe or not? Really, that's determined by what are you doing outside of the gym. So either way, you know, you're going to go to your boxing session or your boxing match. You're going to take your hits and whatnot. But the same way, you know, when you run your car for a long time, you got to take care of the alignment. You got to make sure that the tires are all pumped up. You got to make sure the car's tuned up. Think of your body like a car. And, you know, when you take these hits over time, they really take their toll if they're not addressed properly. So if you think your body, think of your body like a car, coming to see someone like me who can get you quote unquote tuned up or make sure your brain and body connection is working properly can be crucial to your longevity, your career.
The really hot topic of concussions today, you know, it's a big conversation when it comes to soccer, a big conversation when it comes to football, of course, and the health of athletes, you know, when it comes to the muscle between the ears. Yeah. And a lot of former athletes are, you know, have been diagnosed with CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. With what we're knowing about concussions over time, what should parents do, or what should they know before maybe having their son get enrolled in the local football team?
When I was growing up in high school, we would do, you know, different concussion tests. And, you know, so if you're not getting those done through your trainers, making sure that, you know, you're making regular doctor's appointments to get those concussion tests. And then on top of that, just paying attention to the symptoms. You know, like you said, with brain trauma, whether it's on, you know, an emergency level, you got to go to the emergency room with a serious concussion, or sometimes it's on a subtle level where, you know, you might notice from your kid, he or she may not be able to focus as well in the classroom all of a sudden after a boxing match. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be some minor level brain trauma happening there. You know, if they're constantly feeling lethargic, if their energy or maybe their mood, you know, with low energy, a lot of times different depression symptoms are going on. And so lots of different symptoms can pop up. So really what I would say is, rather than trying to diagnose it yourself, bring it into someone that, you know, before we just throw a bunch of painkillers or drugs or surgery at it, which once again, there's a time and place for that, but go the all natural, you know, non-invasive route first and get your neurology checked, have a neurological test, and make sure your brain is communicating with your body properly. And, you know, that'll help with not only the pain, but having better performance as well.
Again, call Margie Harris, 3-year boxing trainer, former professional boxer and founder of the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization. And the voice you just heard right there, Ryan Waltmore of More Life Health and Healing. Again, to raise money for the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization, there will be an event later on this week at the Crafted Bean to help raise money for the LSYO, and we'll be sure to include the details of that event if you missed that chat with Colmargie and Dr. Rye. We'll have that on our Facebook page when we post the podcast version of this show. I also want to pass along this. I was reached out to by Matt Sheehan, who writes for The Only Colors. I know Matt during his time as a student here at Michigan State, when he was covering Michigan State sports, and he just hopped into my Twitter DMs and was asking for my help to help pub this. But Tyler Trent, did you guys see this story over the weekend, Jack and Alec, the Tyler Trent story?
Yeah, I sure did, and I've seen what Sheehan's trying to push as well. I think it's a great idea.
It's fantastic. And, you know, long story short, as we come up here on the end of the hour, Tyler Trent right now is a diehard Purdue fan, 3-time cancer battler. And it was a great piece done by ESPN's Tom Rinaldi over the weekend that aired prior to the Purdue and Ohio State matchup. And Tyler, again, he's in a fight for his life right now against a form of bone cancer that has him battling in hospice care. And again, I'll retweet the longer length story that Tom Rinaldi put together. But Tyler mustered up the strength to see Purdue beat the Buckeyes last week. And what Matt Sheehan of The Only Colors is trying to do is to make Tyler feel at home. And, you know, those who are attending the game here in East Lansing this weekend, you know, root for him and, you know, make him feel like, you know, like he's on top of the world, basically. And, you know, last week, the Boilermaker faithful shouted, "Cancer sucks," on kickoffs. And Matt is saying in his piece here, Spartans, let's stand together with Tyler and mirror what Purdue did last weekend on kickoffs this Saturday. Instead of the usual, oh, go State, we will do the, oh, cancer sucks, loud enough for Tyler to hear back home. Spread it along, tell your seatmates, and let's make Tyler and all brave fighters feel our support for them. And for those looking to donate, Tyler has also posted a link to pediatric cancer research on his Twitter page. So all that Matt is asking for fans at the game to do is during kickoffs, instead of, again, yelling your usual go State, you know, yell, oh, cancer sucks. I think that's awesome. That's awesome stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's really awesome. The whole story of Tyler Trent was really inspiring last week. And, yeah, it's great to see the only colors in Matt Sheehan furthering a really good cause.
Without a doubt. All right. Well, you know, we got about 2 minutes left here in the show. I know Tom Izzo is currently talking, Jack. I'll just say this. Because we only have, like, 2 minutes, I wanted to kind of, you know, just play a little bit of it right now. Has Tom said anything sexy? Anything breaking? Hopefully no injuries. Knock on wood.
I haven't been paying too much attention. I just saw on Twitter that he compared Josh Langford to Gary Harris, saying he's getting to that level as a two-way player and as a leader, but I haven't been listening for the last few minutes.
Okay, gotcha. All right. I also see that Chris Solari had his phone go off during the presser. Somebody called him, and Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News and Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal were having some fun with that. Graham says, phone rings in his old presser. I believe it was Chris Solari's. Izzo says, love it. That should be a fine. I hear those are commonplace these days. Let's call Mr. Delaney and see if we can get that straightened out, end quote. That's great. That is the quote of the day right there.
I swear the whole fine joke from coaches when a phone goes off during a press conference, it's like the oldest joke in the book.
It is, but, you know, Izzo, I think, is poking fun at the news that broke today when
Absolutely.
It comes to Michigan State football.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Izzo, I tell you, again, love it. That should be a fine. I hear those are commonplace these days. good stuff, Iz. I love that. All right, again, we'll have a two-minute drill. We have our very own Zachary Swiezicki in the house filming that presser right now. I'm going to go to the editing booth later on as we get interviews with the players after Tom talks. But he always does this. He goes through the entire roster and lists that player's strength and weaknesses. So strengths and weaknesses, I should say. And right now he's he says there's an eye injury for Jack Hoiberg, who doesn't play a lot. A sprained ankle also for a player who doesn't play a lot in Brock Washington. So as far as injuries goes, that's all I see right now. He's talked about Connor George, Kyle Arnes, Cassius Winston, Kenny Goins, and he's going to keep on going and going and going, at least for the next 15 minutes. All right, so two-minute drill later on this afternoon into the evening. We'll see you tomorrow, folks, on a Friday version of Current Sports. Be easy, people.